Achan, this morning you talk about cheetah. A cheetah arises and cannot experience itself. And I remember in the last Dharma talk, you also talked about other chetasika that arise at the same time, seven chetasika that arise at the same time with cheetah. And they are not the object for the experience of cheetah. We discussed along the way, and we discussed that it is the chetasika and the sika at that time are not the object for cheetah. At that time, at that moment, but later on, what the citta can experience is just the nimitta of those, but not the citta and cittasika itself. For the citta, I understand, but what about other cittasika? Because maybe after they fall away, and then citta can experience them. Later, citta can experience them, but not their nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain?
I think that when we call nimitta, it means that not just one single moment of citta.
Okay. So it is the general.
Just like now, not a single moment of seeing.
True. The nimitta
but
is...
But the characteristic of that which can experience is different from that which cannot. And they both are not self.
True, they are not self.
Just understand the way they are, arising and falling away, one at a time.
For example, now there is
touching, and at the moment of touching it arises with pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. So the touching, the pleasant feeling or the unpleasant feeling, and the other cittasikas arise and fall away completely, experiencing the tangible object, for example, hardness or heat, that citta and those citta seekers cannot experience themselves because they're experiencing hardness or heat at that moment.
Yes.
But there are actually countless moments of touching tangible object, not just one, many, many experiences. And that touching itself, it has a characteristic. So, not at that moment of touching, but afterwards in the mind or process, there can be awareness, there can be direct awareness of that reality, of the nimitta of that reality. And the painful feeling, the unpleasant feeling, it cannot experience itself because it's also experiencing that hardness or that heat, but the same thing. There's not just one moment of touching with one moment of painful feeling, but many moments. So that painful feeling, it has a characteristic, and the sign of that characteristic, the nimitta of that characteristic, can also be known by right understanding and right awareness in the mind or process. Of course, at that time, there is not touching or painful bodily feeling anymore because they arose, experienced the hardness, and fell away. But so rapidly, that characteristic can appear and can be known afterwards. So it's not the same cheetah or cheetah seekers experiencing themselves, but their characteristics can be known in the mind or process following afterwards.
You mean the thinking later on?
Not the thinking, actually the reality itself, the nimitta, the sign of the reality itself, can be directly known. Now, for example, everyone knows there is painful feeling when they get bitten by a mosquito or whatever, and there is thinking about the painful feeling, and there may be a little bit of intellectual right understanding that it's just a momentary feeling that's fallen away. Mm-hmm. Then it is thinking about the concept of that painful bodily feeling. Yeah. But when the understanding develops, it can directly understand that characteristic, the nimitta of that characteristic.
Okay.
not just not thinking about it.
Thank you.
I have the sutra here that just a purple may be seen just at fate migrate. So should view the words on that way, the king of that cannot see. Let's say if we look the world like a bubble and the king of that cannot see us, then can you explain a little bit about the that meaning in this sutra?
Could you just say again?
Just as a bubble may be seen, just as a faint mirage, so should the world be viewed that the death king sees or not.
Now, just so, right? The bubble, the rising and falling away of reality that ignorance cannot understand at all.
The meaning of the death here is just reality, right? The dead king. The dead king may not see the death.
Death king. You'd like to know the death king?
And I just want to understand the meaning of...
What about just death is like a king? Very resolute. No one can change his time or whatever it is.
I remember that last time Ajahn talking about the death, many kind of death, like conventional death, and at every moment a death of a cheetah arises and fall away, something like that, then this may refer to the...
Can we say Chitta is a king as well? See? So it comes down to reality, Chitta, Chittasika, and Rupa. In Pali, is it Matjuraja?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I know that Nana is only just
staying for 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning, so I'd like to just include her so then she can play with Jeff or something. So Nana, do you have any question?
No question.
No question. So I'll ask you one or two questions. So yesterday we learned that there are two kinds of realities. There are those realities which can experience an object, and there are those realities which cannot experience anything. And the realities that can experience an object are called namas. And the realities that cannot experience anything are called rupas. Can you give me an example of a nama, a reality that can experience an object?
Feeling happy right now.
Feeling happy right now is a very good example of a nama. Is seeing a nama?
Yes.
Is hearing a nama?
Yes.
Is touching a nama?
Yes.
Is liking a nama? If you like something, is that a nama?
Yes.
Yes. Not liking, is that a nama? When you hate something?
Yes.
That's a nama. And how about hardness? Is that a nama or a rupa?
Nama.
Can hardness experience anything? Can it know anything?
No.
No. So if it cannot experience anything, it cannot know anything, it's a rupa. Is sound a nama or a rupa?
Rupa.
Rupa. Is visible object a nama or a rupa?
Rupa.
Rupa. And can I see?
No.
No. What sees?
Only seeing.
Only seeing. Can we say seeing is a dhamma?
Yes.
Can we say seeing is a nama?
Yes.
So can we say only a nama sees, only a nama hears, only a nama experiences. Is that right?
Right.
Right. And can we say the hardness belongs to the chair or the book?
Yes.
Really? Or can we say it's just hardness that is touched?
Just hardness.
Just hardness that's touched. Actually, a chair isn't touched, is it? It's only hardness that is touched. And can we say that that hardness is just a rupa that is touched? Nothing in it. No
yes.
chair in it. No thing in it. Is that correct?
Right.
Good. And why is it useful to understand that there are just these different realities, these different namas and rupas? No person, no thing in reality. Why is that interesting?
I don't know.
Do you think it may be because it's the truth about life?
Maybe.
Maybe. So why we have this discussion is to understand about the truth of life. Because they were just talking about a mirage. Do you know what a mirage is?
No.
Like when you're traveling in the desert and you think you see some water, but actually when you get close, nothing is there. It's a mirage. So when we have the idea that we're touching a chair, or that we're seeing a visible object that lasts, or that it's light all the time now, actually it's like a mirage, like a fantasy or a dream, because it's not real. So we're learning to understand what is real and what isn't a mirage at this moment. So if visible object seems to last, then it's a mirage, because actually it's just like a bubble and gone. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
And a quick question for Jep, and then you can both go and play. At the moment of touching, what is touched, Jep?
Ice cream.
I don't know.
Is a spoon touched?
Yes.
Really? Close your eyes. Can you touch a spoon?
Yes.
Or can you touch hardness?
Some people would say that now Nana is ready to go to meditation center, but Jeff is not ready yet.
Okay, so maybe Nana can help take you and explain to you about what is touched now. Okay. Thank you very much, both of you.
Do you think that it's just only the memory of words and terms? Not really understand at all. Because even now, when we talk about that which sees, it's not clear yet. The characteristic which is see, which is now seeing. See? Even now that is seeing. But the characteristic of that tattoo, which arises just to see, is another thing for the development of understanding, gradually, little by little. At the meditation center, they would say, what is seeing? And then the answer is nama. And what is that which is seeing? That is rupa. And then go on, meditate.
That's why it has to, the intellectual understanding has to be really firm and clear and develop, otherwise can go wrong at any time at all.
It's the understanding of each word, like that which appears and that which experience. Before the characteristic of that which experiences can be object of understanding with awareness.
Without understanding seeing, there cannot be the detachment from the idea of self.
Never. Because after seeing has fallen away, the next moment must be asava. being attached instantly to that which sees with kamasava, avichasava, or dittisava, bhavasava.
So before we reach, before that point is reached, are these realities joined together? So is seeing joined together with the visible object? So
what do you mean by joined together?
When we see something,
they are there.
They are there.
Ayatana.
We have this notion that we know that we see, but we don't know precisely the realities.
Seeing sees.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there is the idea of I, even you don't say or speak, I see, it's there.
Yes.
Avichasava is there. Tiddhasava or Kamasava, depending on what stage is the enlightened one. So the panna, sakatagami, anagami, or arhata.
Going back to death, I remember a phrase. It said, "They who cast aside the lovely form reject the bait of death, so hard to pass." So that phrase came from a sutta, but I was wondering, that must kind of relate to this moment. Does it relate to this moment?
That's why we should understand one word at a time. What is that? What is that? Like the king? Is that
the death king? So what does it mean, that statement? In now, in terms of realities now.
One word.
Hmm? They who cast aside the lovely form reject the bait of death, so hard to pass. So,
what does it mean, casting aside the lovely form?
I think it means having no attachment to reality. I mean, I would interpret it that we are born again, we are in the cycle of birth and death because of attachment. Therefore, that's the, at that moment of being attached, you are heading, you're remaining in the cycle of birth and death. But at the moment of non-attachment, detachment, it's the way out of that cycle. But I can't remember the rest of the sutta, but it was a lovely expression. The word nama is used as well, which means, as I understand it, the word nama...
My name.
It means name. I thought it meant bending towards.
Yes.
It means
even
bending...
Even name, bending towards the meaning.
Bending towards the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say nama and rupa...
Yeah, it depends on what we are talking about.
I see.
The characteristic which can experience, or that which is nama, or name only. Because actually the translation of the Pali term is only bending towards.
Yes.
That's all.
So seeing bends towards visible object, and that is the right... It turns towards visible object, the experience is visible object.
Because it cannot turn or bend to other objects. Mm-hmm. Only that which can be object of seeing.
So, where is the you mentioned...
The where, yeah.
You mentioned that also a name.
Name, like the king.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bending towards the meaning of that particular.
It's another meaning.
Yeah.
No, I see, yeah. Okay. And rupa means not experiencing anything.
That which cannot...
And in other place, other book, it said that which is the object.
Yes, it can also be a word for visible object too. One more point on
Ha's question. Sometimes we may get lost in the intricacies of exactly how does this happen, how is it possible to be aware of citta or cetasika, and because it's fallen away and this and that. And sometimes it's useful to hear the explanation just to know it's possible, but actually in the development of understanding or awareness, all that's important to know is that it has a characteristic and it can be known. Otherwise one gets lost in trying to think and work out how exactly it's possible and how many cheetahs and how many processes later and when exactly does when, and all of that takes one away from the present moment and understanding seeing right now, which is the reality which experiences the object. It has a characteristic and it can be directly known. So although it is quite interesting to know, and although it is true that that seeing has fallen away, actually what's important is understanding that reality at this moment, no matter what we call it.
Just to follow up on your little passage, if it is about detachment from pleasant object, which I'm sure it is, one needs to know what are the conditions for detachment to arise.
Understanding the object as it is, understanding what it is that we are attached to.
Understanding the true nature
of the realities that we are attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that a condition for detachment?
Well, the reality itself is impermanent.
Seeing their impermanence and unsatisfactoriness.
Also, I can understand that if we had the idea that we see a person, but actually if that is understood that that must be seeing followed by thinking, there would be less attachment to a person if it's seen as an idea, seeing a person as an idea following what is seen. Because we're very attached to people. But actually, the form, the shape and form, is thinking out of what is seen now. So there's a difference between seeing visible object and the thinking. Is that right?
There are other conditions for detachment. For example, the person who develops samatha, even to the level of jhana, sees the danger in attachment, but doesn't see the true nature of the realities. So that kind of detachment does not really, in the words of the quotation, stop the death king.
So how does
it's only the understanding of dhammas that will halt the death king.
So for the somebody developing samatha, development of calm, how does he see that seeing now is dangerous?
Leads to the commission of unwholesome karma and rebirth in hell realms.
Can anyone know that now there is attachment after seeing?
Yes.
Can anyone know? But the one who will develop samatha knows. This is the difference. Only Panya, which knows, can understand the difference between moment with akusla and moment with kusla, and this can see the danger of akusla in a day. That's all about the five centers.
So they would understand the danger at that moment of seeing, that it's followed by.
So as much as they can develop is having kusla, like metta and so on, as object, in order to have less akusla in a day, in daily life, and then more than that.
So that's the root condition for the development of samatha.
Right.
And without that, it can't develop.
The development of attachment, more and more, try and try. That is not the development of samatha.
Mm-hmm.
But the understanding with awareness, which can see the moment with akusla and moment with akusla, and see the danger of having akusla all day long.
Like now, ideal process.
You said after seeing it can be known that there is attachment, but after seeing in that ideal process, no idea at all about the attachment that immediately follows long, long before there's any idea about that visible object.
Mm-hmm.
Just instantly.
And we don't have to say that we see the danger of ignorance, so we come here and have Dhamma study. Discussion to know better and better. See, we don't have to say out, but the way it is, conducted by the accumulation of right understanding at different levels. Even when awareness arises by conditions, there is no thinking that, oh, is that awareness? Or what is it? Manasikara or what? It's not that at all. But understanding the difference between moment without awareness and moment with very natural awareness.
And that can come out of attachment in the sense that normally we have attachment after seeing immediately by conditions. So we awareness has to break through that natural condition.
That's why for the citta anupassana satipatthana, citta with attachment comes first. All day long. At moment of eating, drinking, talking, doing anything, even moving one's arms or finger. What is that clap? One hand clap.
So the one who has developed samatha
understands and sees the danger of that attachment to what is seen that follows so quickly, but no knowing about it as a reality that is anatta.
Mm-hmm. And that was developed before the time of the Buddha, mm-hmm. the Samatha. And so many of his disciples would have...
Before and during.
So many of his disciples would have... That would have been their way of life before they'd even come across the Buddha.
Many, many people...
When the Buddha was born, had attained very high jhanas, very large numbers, so they knew all about attachment to sense objects and the danger and ways of suppressing it, but they thought that was the goal. They didn't realize it's not the goal. But the reason it's said that the Buddha teaches in that environment or place at that time is those are the people who are ready for enlightenment because such high kusala and ready to hear the truth.
And the question is whether Buddha taught about the development of samatha to those who have accumulation only, who could have samatha of different higher level by conditions to be object of vipassana.
So he taught samatha
only those who could attain samatha. But for those who cannot, see?
But but what's the purpose of developing samatha when you can develop vipassana?
Naturally, by conditions.
Mm-hmm.
To be object of vipassana.
Okay, so that it was because it is kusala, a high degree of kusala, but it has to be
like
the object.
Attachment to sensuous object can be object of satipatthana.
Mm-hmm. And so therefore the object of samatha can be the object of vipassana
by
as
conditions
well.
For that particular person.
And we could say even
in some cases for lay people with that accumulation, because we were discussing a sutta about Anatta Pindika and his 500 lay disciples and how the Buddha compliments them on their devotion and generosity but advises them to, in the joy of solitary retreat, Paviveka Piti, which refers to jhana.
Or to moment of understanding.
Yes, the commentary said, because we looked at it and it was talking about...
But did Anatta Pindika attain jhana?
The commentary says the rapture that arises based on the first and second jhanas.
For whom?
From the commentary. Well, it says that this Paviveka Pitim, in the commentary to the sutta, it says that the rapture that arises based on the first and second jhana.
We can say that for those who have accumulations,
no matter it's anatta, yes, pindika, or whoever it is.
Just on a point you mentioned, it's not the object of samatha that becomes the object of vipassana. It's the jhana jittas that become the object of vipassana for these people if they have the possibility of attaining enlightenment with jhana as basis.
It has to be a reality. Mm-hmm.
And can jhana be the object of satipatthana?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But not the object of jhana, which is a concept. Is the object of samatha always a concept?
With two exceptions, it's always a concept.
And they are?
The second and the fourth arupa jhana chittas, which have as object the first and third chittas, but every other time it's a concept.
Mm-hmm. But we don't need to worry about samatha.
Well, actually, samatha is calm, so actually at any moment of kusala, mm-hmm, there is calm. So in the development of understanding of realities, samatha is also developed, and this is a higher kind of calm. So
it's,
calm is developed with understanding of realities, yeah, too.
But it's a byproduct of understanding. The purpose is to understand, and the byproduct of that is calmness. But I assume that if we understand that we're not calm, then that indicates as akusala, unwholesomeness. Because it must be, if there is no calm, it must be unwholesome citta. So in that sense, that it could help the development. Because there's the recognition that it's some kind of akusala.
As we know, when developing understanding of realities, calm is developed with that understanding, which can have any reality as object. And this is actually a higher calm. But even in the development of samatha bhavana, which is without the understanding of realities, there still has to be understanding from the beginning of how the object can condition calm. For example, if we're talking about metta bhavana, it's not a matter of just having more metta or focusing on metta. There has to be understanding of what metta is, what calm is, how the object can condition calm. So any kind of bhavana has to be with understanding, but two different kinds of understanding.
But in the development of satipatthana, the purpose is to understand reality, and calmness isn't relevant to that. We're not so calmness, whether we're calm or not, has no relevance to the development of satipatthana, because even if we have aversion, that can be the object of satipatthana. So it doesn't matter. Or to put it another way, is calmness relevant in any way to the development of satipatthana?
I think it's very relevant, because satipatthana can only develop with calmness, and until the degree, like in vipassana jnana, where they are linked together and so clear, and that is why concentration becomes strong. But from the very beginning, there has to be calm with that understanding. So at a moment of aversion or a moment of seeing, there isn't calm. But at the moment of understanding, of aversion, of seeing, the citta is calm at that moment. But usually the calm is not understood.
And I think the Buddha encouraged the development of all kinds of kusala for those who are developing the path, because all kinds of kusala are a support for the development of the path. What he didn't encourage was the development of other kinds of kusala as a prerequisite for the development of the path, which is how some people interpret his teachings on metta and other kinds of kusala.
the point is right that when understanding develops, when we learn and hear more about realities and understanding develops, calm develops with it naturally, not by trying to be calm or have calm or wishing for calm. But even in the development of samatha, calm doesn't develop because someone tries to be calm with a particular object, because that's not any understanding of calm. So it's always the development of understanding which is the leader in any bhavana.
I remember that on one of the tapes, I think Ajahn Sachin was talking about that if you know that attachment causes sorrow, you will have less of it. But if you don't know, you won't.
Because it's Panya which knows.
And so at that moment there will be less attachment because it's Panya.
Because of understanding.
Mm-hmm. And is that at any kind of level? Because even people who have never heard of Satipatthana can have some understanding that attachment is a condition for aversion in their life. But it's not Satipatthana, but they can see that attachment is aversion, and that can be spotted in daily life. Is that still of benefit to them, or does it have to go with Satipatthana?
The understanding makes its way with all other wholesome citta-seekers.
Mm-hmm. So it's a condition for other wholesome citta-seekers. In the West today, it seems that basic understanding is lost because it's the danger of attachment is not seen.
They just want to have sati, but nothing to do with understanding at all. Just asking about satipatthana, what is satipatthana, how to have satipatthana.
Not and the quick result.
Interest in panya at all.
Getting back to the calm of samatha, kusala of different kinds does arise in a day, naturally, when there is consideration, respect, metta towards people, etc. So should there be the knowledge, the understanding of those moments as moments of kusala? It may not be satipatthana, but it's the development of samatha, if there is the understanding of the nature of kusala at that moment.
When we talk about the development of vipassana, vipassana refers just to stages of insight knowledge, does it? It's not. So it's wrong to say we're developing vipassana, because actually vipassana refers to the distinction between nama and rupas. So we develop satipatthana. The word vipassana, that word vipassana means what?
We actually discussed this a little on Saturday. So vipassana means clear insight. And it is referring to the vipassana jnanas, the clear understanding of realities at those particular levels. And without the development of satipatthana, there cannot be any vipassana jnana. And without the development of pariyatti understanding until it's very firm, such a jnana, as was mentioned this morning, there cannot be any development of satipatthana. So, like now, understanding about realities by thinking, it's not satipatthana and it's not vipassana jnana, but it is the understanding that leads to the realization of vipassana jnanas, because it is the understanding about realities. So we can talk about it as the development of vipassana, because it is the development of understanding leading to vipassana jnanas.
In the we're looking at the eight factors, the eightfold path, eight different factors there, presumably all of which have to be developed to realize realities as they are. So vitaka, right thinking, performs, that has to be developed as well, but not by anybody directing it, but it does develop. So what's the importance of vitaka in developing sati? Because it's not thinking about sati, is it? We're thinking about satipatthana, but actually satipatthana is not thinking about reality.
So like in the other example, when we talk about the Eightfold Path, actually, if it's not satipatthana now, it's not the Eightfold Path, but it's the development of understanding leading to the Eightfold Path. So now, at a moment of understanding, of seeing, even at a moment of pariyatti understanding, by thinking, at that moment of understanding the object, there has to be right thinking, right vitaka at that moment, which touches that object in the right way for understanding to understand it, like seeing. If there is no vitaka, if there was no vitaka arising with the understanding, it couldn't understand it. So the vitaka is needed to touch the object for understanding to understand.
But in the Eightfold Path is something to be developed.
It develops by itself with right understanding.
So that vitaka cetasika then develops, conditioned by initially the intellectual understanding of realities. There's not a little separate bit we need to do to increase vitaka.
These factors, like the vitaka and the energy and so forth, they are just mental factors that arise with a moment of consciousness. So we don't need to think of their function in terms of the conventional meaning of the term thinking or effort. So at every moment of awareness, these factors arise, and that's how they develop. And when they are path factors, they've all developed to an extent. The understanding is able to penetrate reality to a certain extent. So at one of the jnanas or at enlightenment, it attains that strength because the path factors have been developed with the panya all the way along.
And like we said this morning, moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, they don't need vitaka to experience their object because they are weak cheetahs that just need seven mental factors. But immediately after seeing, even the other cheetahs in that idle process need vitaka to experience the object. So no one says, please vitaka, come and experience at the moment of the vipaka cheetah that follows seeing, or the one following that, or the very subtle kusala or akusala cheetahs in that sense door process, like at the moments of lobha following seeing. No one has chosen to have vitaka, so it just arises by conditions. Mm-hmm. So at moments of understanding, vitaka is there, wholesome vitaka is there, touching, experiencing the object for understanding, and the other cetasikas to experience the object with the cheetah. Just as at a moment of attachment or aversion, vitaka is experiencing, is touching the object in order for the lobha or the dosa to experience the object. So it just develops very naturally, but it just shows that it has a role that understanding or the other cetasikas involved need to experience the object.
So what keeps seeing hidden? And what can unhide it now?
Only panya. And would one
like it to be to appear? No, but again,
it's there and it's here, but who or what can see it? So it has to be panya.
Mm-hmm.
From hearing, considering, and knowing that it's there. but no choice for any to be object of awareness, because awareness is just ready to arise by conditions and is aware immediately.
So the knowing that it's there is
here.
Is a condition.
Right understanding. That we don't have to go away to try to do anything.
No. And it's performing its function now. So it has to be now that it...
Anything is object of satipatthana when there's right understanding. No selection. Not breath.
On the very first day when we were talking about karma, there were a couple of points that Alan brought up that I just want to touch on again. One of them was we were talking about understanding, seeing, and when the understanding develops, understanding its conditioned nature. And we made reference to understanding that the cause or the condition for seeing is different than the cause or condition for kusala or akusala, and the main condition for seeing at this moment is karma. And you asked, I think, how can it be known that karma is the cause? Was that the question?
Because we can... I can understand intellectually that if one reality follows immediately after another, that one reality can condition that reality. Like you see the pleasant object, it conditions the pleasant feeling instantly. But with karma, that's operating from a different time. So how can that be known, or can it be known by the ordinary person that seeing has karma as its condition?
Who knows, except Buddha.
Mm. So is that something everything. Which can't be known by...
Achintaya.
Sorry, the...
But I think the question is not... The question is not
how can it be known, what cause or which karma, but just in general, how can it be known that seeing is just the result of karma in general?
Yeah. Panya knows. This is a point. Mm-hmm. But what level of panya? Now it cannot, this level of panya, intellectual understanding, cannot know that. But at moment of awareness and right understanding develops, it understands different realities at different moments. So it knows the difference between this moment of seeing and moment of thinking and moment of liking. So it can see that the seeing is just that which cannot change, because it has to arise and see. But thinking can change by conditions. We think this way or that way, but seeing is conditioned by the previous karma at the right time, just to have its vipaka to arise. So it doesn't need more than 7 cetasikas at all. The power of karma can condition seeing to arise. And at moment of understanding, seeing or hearing is different from thinking, liking, and so we know that it's by karma. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we might speculate, well, how can it be known that it is that karma? But I think that the answer is a bit like, how can it be known that rupas arise in a kalapa or whatever, except just by reading intellectually? But when it's time, when understanding develops, then it knows, it understands. But if one starts thinking, what would it be like to know it all, then it's like trying to imagine a kind of understanding that hasn't been developed enough.
Even the second vipassana jnana, it doesn't mean that we are trying to understand what paccaya are there. But the difference of reality conditioned the understanding of different paccaya.
Yes, Ajahn just mentioned about thinking can be changed. Then could you please elaborate?
It can be akusala thinking or kusala thinking. But seeing has to be just that which experiences visible object for all, for everyone.
The changing here just by condition as any
by condition,
intention?
Every by condition.
also by the conditions.
So one begins to understand condition, but not by thinking about it. Because there is thinking about paccaya before the moment of awareness and moment of realizing the truth of that reality.
Like it's obvious now that for anyone or even for the dogs in the garden, there is seeing, there's hearing, there's at these moments, but it depends on accumulations, whether there is aversion to what's seen or attachment to what's seen or understanding of what's seen. This is what is meant by it can change. So whatever one hears, whatever one reads, it's always about conditioned realities which are anatta. So if one hears something or reads something that seems different, no matter whatever one comes across, it's always conditioned realities.
The poison because of the anatta is the truth. Okay, I got the point.
And in the discussion on karma, it just reminds me, there was one other point that came up. Kung gave an example of, I think we mentioned the other day, that about crushing a snail unintentionally. And I was saying that actually the cause of the death, the cause of the death of that snail, of the chuticitta arising, was karma in the past. And Alan was saying, oh, but it's not the only condition. But I said, it's the main condition, because also another condition, there has to be the experiencing of hardness, the bodily consciousness at that moment, that just before the death, but even that bodily experience is a result of karma. So we think that someone else or something else is responsible, but actually in terms of paramatta dharmas, there's just the touching of hardness and then the chuticitta arising. So we can see that karma in the past is the main cause. Anything else on that point about the cause of death and why so useless to grieve?
Relating to karma, I would like to ask back to Alan's question recently, that if as the result of karma, an object appears and it is a pleasant object and it causes the next pleasant feeling, then my question is that really, is there a pleasant object arises, or just the present, the pleasant is just the nama, a feeling?
Actually, you asked for a good question. So visible object, not all visible objects are the same. There are pleasant visible objects, unpleasant visible object, but like at this moment, who can say whether it's pleasant object or unpleasant object? Because at the moment of seeing, the feeling is neutral. But afterwards, if it's the pleasant object, then attachment arises instantly. But actually, no way to even know now, so it's useless to even speculate. Like we have an idea, we're in this beautiful garden, so it must be pleasant object, but that's just a long thinking about a long story. It's nothing to do with understanding reality now. The object that's experienced through body consciousness, through the body, that body consciousness is accompanied by pleasant feeling or painful feeling. So when there is painful feeling at that moment of bodily experience, it's clear it's unpleasant object at that moment. But even so, like at the moment when one's bitten by a mosquito, one knows the many moments of painful feeling, but those cheetahs arise and fall away so instantly. Who can say at this moment whether it's a desirable or undesirable object experienced through the body consciousness? Because so many different processes at different moments.
You mean that the the object itself is pleasant or unpleasant, but we don't know. Just through later on, through the thinking, then we notice that it's pleasant or not. Right?
Well, when it's through the body sense, it can be known immediately, often, because hardness, if there is a hard impact and it's painful, so it's an unpleasant object. Whereas if it's soft, like a pillow, for example, which is comfortable to the touch, then it's going to be a pleasant object. And if we think of, for example, through the ear door, a sound that is extremely loud is unpleasant in its nature, not just because we don't like it. And so it's the same with the other sense doors. The object is intrinsically pleasant or unpleasant. But as Sarah said, much of the time it's not possible to know that. So we're certainly not encouraged to speculate about it. But the answer to your question, I think, is that the object itself is intrinsically pleasant or unpleasant.
Can the rupa be vipaka? Vipaka. What is vipaka? What reality is vipaka?
Vipaka. There are many reality of vipaka.
Absolute reality is vipaka.
Rupa can be the result of karma.
Yes.
Yes.
But there are four kinds of the absolute realities, paramita dhamma. Can the rupa be vipaka?
Can you explain more about this?
Just to help you.
Yep.
Namas and rupas can be conditioned by karma.
Yes.
So seeing is a nama.
Yeah.
It's conditioned by karma. It's
yes.
Vipaka.
Yes.
But vipaka only refers to nama dhammas. So mm-hmm. We talked earlier about what namas are. So citta is a nama. Cetasikas are a nama. So only cittas and cetasikas can be vipaka dhammas, conditioned by karma. So rupas, as you say, can be conditioned by karma. And then they are called kamaja rupas. They're conditioned by karma, but they're not vipaka.
When you said earlier that rupas can be vipaka, I think you were referring to the rupas that are experienced through the sense doors.
Yes, what I mean is that there are rupas that are the result from nama.
For example?
For example, the voice.
The sound, the unpleasant.
No, the voice, for example, of someone speaking,
mm-hmm.
that is the voice itself is the rupa, right?
Right.
And it comes from the person speaking it, and it is from result from nama, or the sign of the body, for example.
Right, but we're clear that the rupas experienced through the sense doors are not vipaka. For example, if one has an accident and there's some painful feeling resulting from that, some impact rather, that is not vipaka, it is the body consciousness that experiences the unpleasant object that is vipaka.
What about the people are born, for example, without eyes or without the ability to hear? I think it is also the result of karma, and it is the eye itself is a rupa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is conditioned by karma also. But when we talk about vipaka, we just mean the consciousness arising at the five sense doors and, experiencing.
Yeah.
Can I just clarify that then? Karma conditions, for example, the eye sense or the ear sense, the rupa, which is eye sense or ear sense, but karma patha can't condition the rupa, which is as if you get burnt by fire. That's not the rupa isn't the result of karma patha. The experiencing of the rupa is the result of karma patha. But actually, it's not, according to what you were saying, Jonathan, the karma patha doesn't produce the impact, it doesn't produce the fire or the car accident, it's the experiencing. Is that, am I clarifying that. So it's really that karma produces the rupa, which is the eye sense or the ear sense, and does it and presumably body sense. But is there any other rupa which it produces?
Mm-hmm. Masculinity, femininity.
Oh, I see. But in terms of karma patha, it doesn't. A good deed or a bad deed does not produce rupa.
When we use the word karma, we mean karma patha.
Yes. Oh, we mean karma patha.
Yes.
So, for example, at the first moment of life, the birth consciousness, the Patisandhi citta, it is vipaka citta. It is conditioned by karma in the past. It is the result of karma patha. And from that first moment of life, there are three groups of rupa which are conditioned immediately at that first moment, and they are also conditioned by karma. They are kamaja rupas, and throughout life there are groups of rupa, such as the rupas of the body and the eye sense, ear sense, the masculinity, femininity, all conditioned throughout life by karma. But at a moment of, like one was talking about the snail, or talking about now, the touching of hardness. The touching is conditioned by karma, but the hardness that is touched out here, that hardness was conditioned by temperature, not by karma. But touching the rupa of the body, the body sense, rupas, they are conditioned by karma, some of them.
But if you get a disease, for example, and you get cancer, that cancer is rupa, but that's not conditioned by karma patha.
The rupas that make up the body are conditioned by four different conditions, by temperature, karma, citta, and temperature. And often it's not known, like we talk about, oh, the rupas of cancer. Actually, different moments, who can say at this moment whether those rupas are conditioned by temperature or karma or even citta or nutriment. So different causes. So those rupas, there are rupas that can be conditioned by karma, but...
You don't know. But if the tree falls on top of your head, that's not karma patha. That's not conditioned by karma patha, because the rupas which make up the tree are external. So that would be different.
The experiencing is a result of karma, and if death were to come at this moment, that would be conditioned by karma.
And that must always be a good deed, because to be born a human is a result of a good deed. Therefore, the death consciousness must be a good deed as a result of kusala karma patha.
Death consciousness is another vipaka citta.
Yes. Which is,
but we don't say it's a good deed or a bad deed. It's vipaka.
Yes, I
and
see.
So likewise with the tree falling on the head. Generally, the ups and downs of life are conditioned by karma. But we don't call it vipaka. What we call vipaka, if we're being specific, is the experiencing of objects from moment to moment. There could be an accident in which there was no painful bodily feeling, for example. Mm-hmm. So, no akusala vipaka.
Yeah, but the death consciousness is vipaka.
Yes.
And that must be kusala vipaka.
Yes.
Or akusala vipaka.
Or akusala vipaka.
Dog's death.
The dog's death, but for a human's death,
yeah,
it must be kusala vipaka. But so for a dog's death could be
akusala vipaka, must, for sure.
But for a human it must be
kusala vipaka
for sure.
Exactly.
That cuti citta, that last moment of life, is exactly the same kind of citta as the patisandhi citta, the first moment of life. And we know in the human realm that birth consciousness is a result of kusala karma, and all the bhavanga cittas, the life continuum cittas in between, such as when one's in deep sleep, exactly the same kind of cittas conditioned by the same karma in the past.
can this understanding of karma help with the understanding of reality now with awareness? Can it help in any way?
You mean kusala?
Well, we understand a bit about karma and...
Kusala. Kusala is karma. Kusala karma or akusala karma.
We understand intellectually about karma.
Like the other day when he was talking about he felt so sad because he thought he had, by treading on the snail, he had caused its death and so on, and long, long story. But by understanding more about different realities and the causes and the conditions and knowing what the true cause of death is at that moment and not how it's not actually a being or a person that dies, but it's just a citta that arises conditioned by karma in the past, can condition more understanding with detachment that you talked about. Like, what's the point of feeling so sad about it when this happened? Because actually the cause of death was that karma anyway. And these are just dhammas arising by conditions that are anatta.
Is that, and I think it's one of the meditation objects, isn't it, for samatha, the contemplation of karma, or... No?
It's one of the imponderables.
Oh, okay. I got that wrong then. But there are 40 meditation objects.
Certainly death, reflecting on death.
How it can calm now, how at this moment when it's time for death, it happens by causes, and reflecting on that can condition calm. But actually when it talks about the equanimity as Brahma Vihara, they talk about reflecting on karma and how one's heir to one's own karma can condition equanimity. Like, one's friend has cancer and is suffering so much, but reflecting on karma and how causes have to bring their results can be a condition for calm instead of feeling so sad.
So the question is again about, can rupa be vipaka?
Now I understand that vipaka is a citta. And so if it is a citta, rupa is not vipaka.
Rupa can be the result, but the result, not vipaka.
Yes, the result but not vipaka. Mm-hmm.
Because the vipaka must be that which can experience.
Yes.
Because it is the direct result of karma.
Thank you so much for pointing out
the
point that I mix up.
Not only citta, but citta-sika are also vipaka, nama.
So can anyone know whether it is kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka right now? At moment of seeing.
Who knows?
You are beautiful.
But
can be wholesome.
Can be kusala karma in the past.
But what is seen is conditioned by four conditions, not only karma. Utu, citta, and ahara as well.
Tai thinks that his cheetahs only
experience desirable objects all day long. Yeah. Non-stop kusala vipaka.
And for flowers and trees, at moment of seeing, is it kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka? See, nobody can tell, like now.
But the developed understanding could tell. In the sense that the seeing, which experiences a pleasant object,
because at that moment it realized the nature of seeing as not self. that which sees is the self, not the object which is seen. And when it's the object, the understanding knows that it's only that which cannot experience.
But the seeing has a characteristic, and that characteristic must be different if it's a kusala vipaka or kusala vipaka.
Seeing sees. Akusala vipaka sees, kusala vipaka sees.
Mm. And actually the seeing itself is not kusala akusala, it's just vipaka. We say it's kusala akusala just because it is the result of kusala or akusala karma, just to differentiate it. But actually it's just vipaka, just seeing which sees.
But does it not have a quality about it which is different, whether it's kusala or akusala?
That's why we learn to know that it is vipaka. It cannot be kusala or akusala. It has to arise to see.
It experiences, depending on that karma, it experiences a desirable or undesirable object, but it just sees.
It just sees, I understand that. It just sees visible object. But I was just wondering about the quality of it, that if it's produced, it doesn't make any difference. It's just seeing. Okay.
See, we just talk about that which is now. All the time. To make it known as not self.
We can sum up that the teachings are
words to help us understand realities
whatever
now.
Whatever appears
now.
By conditions only.
And that's essentially the whole of the teachings.
And very short, and nothing again. Actually, there is nothing, sunyata, nothing to be permanent thing, not to be permanent.